Morning. Today's daf Nida is daf Lamed. We're on Chav Tes. We are on the very bottom of Chav Tes and Aleph, about to turn the Yama. The Mishnah on Chav Tes and Aleph talks about a woman who miscarried, but not 100% sure. In other words, she knows for sure that something came out. She had a discharge, but after that, she's not sure what happened. So the Mishnah broken up into two parts. Ma'pelz ve'ein yadua mahu. So the Mishnah starts off with a scenario where she has a miscarriage, but she doesn't know what it is. So Teshuv v'zachla nekeva. So with the assumption that it was a baby, so the only question now becomes gender, and that's going to affect the number of days that she is going to be having to count, 40 for a male, 80 for a female. So okay, so zachar nekeva. And zachar nekeva, as we have discussed already numerous times, means that she's going to be machmir, meaning it'll be 14 days because it may have been a female, and then it's only going to be a remaining 26 days of tahara because it may have been a male. The Mishnah then goes over another scenario, en yadua im vlad haya im lav. What if we don't even know if it was a baby? Meaning she hasn't even validated that she was pregnant. So now that brings in a third possibility, which is that it might have been a male, might have been a female, might have been neither, might have just simply been a discharge of blood, which wouldn't make her a nida. And obviously, under those circumstances, she's not going to get yemei tohar. She's only going to get yemei tumah, but she's not going to be given yemei tohar. Okay, that was the Mishnah. The Gemara quoted the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that a woman that's going through the river and she discharged in the river and the river Rachmanis took away the whatever she discharged. We're going to say, look, we don't have any evidence of what happened other than the fact that she discharged. We don't know what came out of her, but we're going to say that it was a baby. And so therefore, Teshuv v'zachla nekeva. That was the statement of Yeshua ben Levi. Rov Nashim. Right, that was the principle of Rav Yeshua ben Levi is Rav Nashim Vlad Ma'alya Yaladan, that the majority of women give birth to a viable fetus or a fetus that would yield Tumas Leida. Okay, and then of course, what does he do with our Mishnah? And the Gemara made a very simple distinction. Well, the case of our Mishnah is talking about a case where it wasn't even established she was pregnant, and so therefore that's why the Mishnah has three considerations: Zachar Nekeva Nida. In Rav Yeshua ben Levi's scenario, it was already established that she was pregnant. And now it's just a question of whether it was male or female. But even without the evidence of the actual discharge itself, even though the river swept it away, nevertheless, we're going to say that she had a baby that would warrant her to have Tumas Leida. That is the basic outline of what we did yesterday. And now we pick it up on the bottom of Chav Tes Amud Aleph. Now, for the upcoming Gemara, there are going to be a lot of information being thrown very quickly. And I apologize in advance that we're going to be doing it in such a short amount of time. Really, this Gemara, we really need to do it really well a lot more time. So I'm going to do it a little too quickly, and I apologize already on the front end. Kiasa Ravin Amar Mesa Rav Yosef Rav Yechanina Toa. So Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and he went over a dialogue that occurred in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yosef Rav Yechanina asked a question from the woman who was confused. She was Toa. And Velo Yadada Mai Tiyufta, but as he's asking the question, I didn't understand even why that was a question, and I easily moved the question aside. Okay. So far, all we have is just an outline of a question and answer. We don't even know what the question was. We don't know what the answer is. Maihi. So, okay, that's where the Gemara wants to go next. What exactly was the question? What was the answer? Detailing the Gemara starts off by quoting the following Brisa. Isha Shiyatza Malaya. So a woman who left pregnant. Ubari Kanis. And she comes back without her being pregnant. Okay, so at one point in time, so the baby was miscarried. Ve'evil afanenu, and now, once she's back here, so here's what happened. Now, the facts are the facts, meaning the givens of this particular scenario is that she was going to go through the following sequence of weeks. I'm going to say it outside first, so that you get to see the outline outside, and then we'll see it all inside. After she was returned, when she miscarried, and by the way, as not only was she away physically, she was also out to lunch mentally. Meaning, she simply didn't know when she had the miscarriage, and so now she's back here, and the fog has been lifted, and now here's what happened: 3 weeks, the first 3 weeks, she no discharge whatsoever, and then the subsequent 10 weeks, she alternated between 1 week of bleeding. 1 week of not bleeding. 1 week of bleeding, 1 week of not bleeding. So it's a total of 13 weeks. And now what the Bryce is going to deal with is, and this honestly is where it gets complicated, is what exactly she's going to have to do in order for her to become tahor with the following givens. Given that she gave birth, but we don't know when. Given that now she went through the schedule of 3 weeks of not bleeding and then a subsequent 10 weeks of 1 week on, 1 week off of bleeding. So at what point in time now does she become tahor? When can she be with her husband? When is she going to tovel in the mikvah? Simple questions with really complex answers. Okay, so Isha Shiyatza Malayav Bavri Kanis Vehivil of Anin Shosha Shivon Tahor. So the first 3 weeks were Tahor. Vasar Shivon Sechatame Vecha Tahor. And the next 10 weeks, one Tame, one Tahor. Now, obviously, this is a constructed scenario. This was not a response to a particular scenario. It's a constructed scenario to make points, to make a lot of points. I don't even want to understate it. Right? A host of many things to take into consideration. And there's a reason why this particular case was constructed, where 3 weeks of non-bleeding and then 10 weeks of on and off, because it really highlights so many different halachas. So first of all, can she be with her husband in the course of those 91 days, right? 7 times 13. So can she be with her husband? And the answer is going to be, Mishamesh Lor Shloshim V'chamesh. On the eve of the 35th day, she could be with her husband. And that's it. In this particular sequence. So, now, how many times she tovling in the mikvah? So, according to Beis Shammai, 95 times. Beis Hillel Omer, 35, and Beis Hillel says 35 times. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Dalet Tefillah Shetehei Ba'achrona. And the opinion of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, is that one tefillah at the end would be sufficient. Okay. Obviously, there's a lot of explaining to do.
How does Beis Shammai get 95 out of 91 days?
Right? That's amazing, right? We're going to see. I know. Everything's coming. Bishlam Shavua Rishon Lo Mishamesha. So now the Gemara is going to take us through the scenario over here. Now the first week, I understand she's not going to be with her husband Amar Yola Zachari, because again, we know that she miscarried. We don't know when, and therefore what we'll ascertain is that first week it could be immediately postpartum. And immediately postpartum after having a male. Okay, so the first week now is the yemetum of a male. Shavua sheni emer yolez nekevahi. Now the second week, I also understand that she's not with her husband. Because again, she came back, it's postpartum, and it might be postpartum of a female, and of course that's tamei, she's tamea, the mother, for 2 weeks. That part I get. Shavua shlishi emer yolez nekevah bezovhi. And I even get the third week, because consider, and we've discussed this before, it could very well be that before she actually had the baby, she was a Zava Gadola. Now, I know, in order to entertain that, so it's a scenario which we just, it's hard for us to relate to. She was a Nida sometime towards the end of her pregnancy. And then, sometime toward the end of the pregnancy, after having been a Nida, so now she bled 3 consecutive days during her Yemei Ziva, making her a Zava Gadola. But she didn't get an opportunity yet to count her Shemini Kiyum for 7 clean days. She gave birth. And so now, first thing that's going to be doing is we're going to resolve the Tumas Leida. Either it's a male or a female. And you can't count concurrently the days of Tuma and the Shivan Akiyam. They cannot be counted concurrently. So that means now for the first week, she may have had a boy. For the second week, she may have had a girl. Now that those two Tumas have been resolved, because remember, she was clean for the first 2 weeks. Now for the third week, now she gets to count Shivan Akiyam. But of course, she can't be with her husband during the counting of the Shivan Akiyam. And so therefore, what does that leave us with? The third week, she's also not with her husband, because now she's counting the Shivan Akiyam for her unresolved Zava Gadola. So far, so good. So, Ela Shvur Rivi. So, Afagav Dikachaz Yadam Tishamish Tahadam Tarhu. So the Gemara says, but the fourth week. Now remember, the fourth week is the beginning of the 10. Right? After the 3 weeks, now we go into a series of 10 weeks where we're alternating bleeding, non-bleeding. So the Gemara says, okay, during the fourth week, she should be Mishamish, because that's Dam Tarahu. So that should be Dam Tarahu, because consider, she had a baby before she came, or maybe even on the day she came back. Well, right now, it's kind of funny, I gave away the answer. Not the worst thing, but she, let's say on the day she came back, she had the baby. Again, total fog, not really remembering, but on the day she came back. So again, week number 1, that's Tumas Zachar. Week number 2, that's Tumas Nekeva. Week number 3, Yoledes Bezov. Okay, week number 4, she's bleeding, but she could be with her husband. Now again, you've been here in Masechta Nida enough, you'll know, of course, because after a baby, so if it was a male, 7 days of Tumah, 33 days of Tahara. If it was a female, 14 days of Tumah, 66 days of Tahara. So regardless of whether she had a male or female, in week number 4, which is taking us from day 22 to day 28, So now she's in the Yemei Tohar. So she should be with her husband, right? So the answer is right. But why isn't she with her husband? Oh, so the Gemara is saying this is the question that we asked. La Mishum Delo is in a Basaruba. Because the rove of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we don't subscribe to this rove. Meaning Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is wrong. There is no such rove that most women have a birth which would result in a Leda. We don't say that. And because we don't say that, so then what are we going to do describing this blood during week number 4? It's Dam Nida. It's not Dam Leda. Okay. All this is what the Gemara's question was.
Wait, why should we Dam Tar? Because it's in the, for a girl or a boy, it's within the first, like, 33 days,
right, that's a Gemara's question.
Yeah, but Rabbi, the whole case, when it started, she came back and asked a question after the 13 weeks already passed.
No.
That's what it says. She told us that she had 3 weeks.
I understand, but...
13, so how can you go...
No, it wasn't, no. The questions were not after the 13. She's coming back, and what we're trying to do is explore each one of the days of the 13 weeks, and understand why it is that she is only with her husband on the night of the 35th. Why not? Why isn't she with her husband in week number 4? It's the case. Okay. What I'm going to ask now is, once again, just stay with me. Okay. I'm doing this correctly, right? I went over this a number of times. I'm doing this correctly. So the Gemara is now saying so week number 4 she should be with her husband, and it must be the reason why she's not is because the rove of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is wrong. That's what the Gemara is suggesting. So Ella Mai Lo Yadana, Mai Tiyufta. And now, once we heard the question, what's the answer to the defendant Rav Yeshua ben Levi? And the answer is really simple. And I already gave it away. I didn't mean to, but I did. Eimar Hichika Leidasa. And the answer is, we're not saying for sure that she gave birth on the day she came back. That's just one possibility. It could very well be that, again, she was away physically and mentally. She was in a total fog. She has no idea when she gave birth. And so the birth could have occurred a day before she came back, 2 days before she came back, a week, 2 weeks, you get the point. In other words, so at this point in time, the reason why week number 4 she's not with her husband is because she had a Leda. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is right. Rov Nashim, most women give birth to something which would require Tumas Leda. But that was weeks ago, a month ago, 2 months ago. And so therefore, in week number 4, aside from the fact that it could have been it could have been that she gave birth on the day that she came back. That's a possibility. But what also exists as a possibility is that she gave birth a week earlier, a month earlier. And so therefore, what's week number 4? Could be just Dam Nida. And that's why she's not with her husband. Shloshim v'chamesh. We're getting there. We're getting there. Don't worry. Everything's going to be covered. Okay. In other words, I know there's a lot, right? Once you start thinking about the case, there's obviously a lot to think about. The Gemara is going to take into consideration every point. So, Hachshavu Chamisha Detaru Tishamish. So the Gemara says, okay, week number 5. So week number 5, she should be with her husband. So the why isn't she with her husband every day in week number 5? So week number 5 is week number 2. I know it's confusing. It's week number 2 of the 10 alternating weeks. Okay, so now in week number 2 of the 10 alternating weeks, otherwise known as week number 5, so why isn't she going to, why can't she be with her husband every day over there? So, Hachshavu Revi, Kol Yuma V'Yuma Mesafkim Esof Leda, Uvitzchilas Nida. So the Gemara says, look, because now we've just established that we don't know when it was that she gave birth, so here's what could be. When is the end of her Yemei Leda? It could be any day of week number 4. Now, she bled the entire week 4. So, I'm going from Sunday through Shabbos. She bled any day of week number 4. So, that means to say that Sunday could have been the last day of her of Leda. That's Sunday. Then what would Monday be? The first day of Yemei Nida. Right. Now, here's what we know, and I'm just going to remind everybody. Minat Torah, what is a Nida? She starts bleeding, and then the next 7 days she's a Nida, regardless of whether she bleeds or she does not bleed. That could be true all the way up to Shabbos. Meaning, what Friday could represent, Friday of week number 4 could be the last day of her Leda, and then, what would then Shabbos represent? The first day of her Nida. So if Shabbos of week number 4 represents the first day of her Nida, what is now week number 5? The subsequent 6 days of her Nida. And that's why she's not with her husband during week number 5. V'esrim v'tam yegufa emar t'chilas nidahi, u'bay l'mesiv shivala nidasa. Okay, well, what we just articulated. So Be'etzem Echad Tishamish, the Gemara says, okay, but what about on day 21? Why can't she be with her husband on day 21? Again, what was our considerations? Week number one was post-Zachar, postpartum Zachar. Week number two was postpartum Nekeva. Week number three, you'll let us bezolf. Now, in terms of Shiva Nekim, how does that work? So again, we've gone over this before. We get to review it right now. So you count seven clean days. Once you count seven clean days, what do you do? On day number seven, not the night, right? The night is for Nida. On day number seven, you tov on the mikvah. On day number seven, you tov on the mikvah. And now the woman is Tara. She could be with her husband. Now, the question is that if we're going over the maximum number of days that she could be with her husband in this sequence, and we only highlighted day number 35, and that's the only day, well, what's wrong with day number 21? Actual day number 21. So the Gemara's answer is Rabbi Shimon Hidam Rasul Asos Kein Shema Tavali Dei Safek. So the Gemara says that's out of the question because of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon introduces us to a Gzera Durabanan, rabbinic concern. What would happen if on the seventh day of Rabbi Shimon came after she told him the mikvah, she's with her husband, right? And I know we discussed earlier the halachas of modesty, and a husband and wife should not be getting together during the day, but there are exceptions. But okay, but in other words, but post tefillah on day seven of Rosh Hashanah Kiyum, what happens if she sees again, even though it's post tefillah? What that does is it undoes all of Rosh Hashanah Kiyum, all her seven clean days. And so that means that even though she tefillah in the mikvah, she's back to having to count her Shevinah Kiyum, which means that she's no longer tahora, which now means that retroactively she was with her husband at a time that she was not allowed to be with her husband. So for this concern, the Chachamim said that even though it's post-Vila, she still cannot be with her husband on day number seven. La'orsa Tishamish, the Gemara says, okay, what about the eve of the 22nd day? Meaning, again, we're looking for the opportunities in which a husband and wife could be together. And so far, we've only highlighted day number 35. What's wrong with the night of the 22nd? Because remember, what was the schedule? 3 weeks of not bleeding, and then the next 10 weeks subsequently bleeding, not bleeding, week on, week off. Okay, but at least on the night prior to day number one, meaning in my construct of Sunday through Saturday. So that would be now Saturday night at the end of week number three. Why not have relations with her husband then? In other words, it's post Shiva Nekiyum, and the bleeding of week number four doesn't start until tomorrow morning, presumably. And so why isn't she with her husband on the night of the 22nd day? So Bishara Sabarev, so the Gemara gives a very simple answer over here, and that is that the bleeding of week number four started on Saturday night. Okay. Umadvilna Sotisha Bechamish Tvilos. Okay, so far now, what we've just established is that in this scenario of 3 weeks of not bleeding, 10 weeks of on and off, so the number of times that she's with her husband is only one during this 91 period of time, and that is only going to be on the 35th day. The Gemara now wants to know, she's toveling in the mikvah now, according to Beis Shammai, 95 times, and according to Beis Hillel, 35 times. How did we get to those numbers? And more fundamentally, if she's toveling in the mikvah and she's not going to be with her husband after toveling to the mikvah, what is the point of toveling in the mikvah? And so the Gemara is going to give the answer at the end of this discussion, but I'm going to give it away right now. And that is a principle of tefillah b'zman mitzvah. That if today is the day in which you tovel in the mikvah, so it's a mitzvah to do it at the right time. Now, when I say today is the day, meaning even on the suffix side that today is the day, as long as today is a possibility that today is the right day to tovel in the mikvah, so it's a mitzvah to do so on today, despite the fact that there are other possibilities, and therefore you cannot be with your husband even after having toveled on this particular day. This is a principle of tefillah b'zman mitzvah.
But doesn't let it allow her husband. She's just going through her emotions.
Right. That's correct. I just said that. Correct. Okay, so umadbilan so tisha b'chamish tefilos. Now, she's going to tovel 95 times. How, according to Beis Shammai, do we get to the number 95? So, shvu kama umadbilan so b'leilasa. Ema yole zacharhi. Now, on week number one, she's going to be toveling every night. Now, remember, for a woman giving birth, postpartum. So after a male, so it's 7:33. 7 days where she's tame and it's dam tame, and the next 33 days it's called dam tahar. She's still in the middle of her malos, meaning the total number of days that's counted postpartum of a male is 40. But how do you move from 7 to 33? So the way you transition is you tovel in the mikvah, the night of the 33rd day. The night of the 8th day.
Right.
So that means that you're going to go 7 days. Where the dam that comes out is dam tameh, then the next 33 days will be dam tahor, but to transition, there must be a tefillah that's done. on the night of the 8th. Considering that any day during the first week could be the end of those 7 days, she's toveling every night of that first week. So, now in week number 2, so again, you're going to go through the same nightly tefillas because it may have been that it was a female. She didn't know. Now, what about week number 2? So there are 2 days during week number 2. This answers your question. There are 2 days in week number 2. And week number 2, every day should be toveling at night and should be toveling during the day. Why? Why during the day? Because again, we have to take into consideration every possibility. There is a possibility that she was a Zava Gadola right before she gave birth, and she gave birth to a male. Now, under those circumstances, watch what happens. She is in week number 1, so again, a tefillah every night because it may be the conclusion of day number 7. In week number two, the possibility that if the leda was a male, so week number 2 may be Shivan Akim. Any day of week number 2 might be the conclusion of Shivan Akim. Now, as we already pointed out, Shivan Akim, when do you tovel for Shivan Akim? You tovel on the day of the 7th, not the night. So that means, and on top of that also, week number 2 also may have been postpartum of an Akeva. So what comes out from all this is the idea that on week number 2, she's toveling at night because it may have been a female that she gave birth to. She's toveling during the day because it may be Zava after a Zachar.
Why don't we just do it once at night and cover both bases?
No, because they are two different tefillahs generated by two different obligations. And one's during the night, one's during the day.
The tefillah cannot combine.
Right. Well, it can't. In theory, tefillah could combine, but the Shivan Akim tefillah has to be done during the day. And the
so if it's done during the night, it's done, if somebody like
it, it seems that way.
It seems
that way.
It has to be done during the day, or maybe not.
No, no, that's the zman.
Preferred.
That's the zman. And again, the whole premise of this Gemara is tefillah of zman is a mitzvah. Let's continue. The Gemara goes on. Shavu shlishi. Now, what about during the third week? Now, in week number 3, so she's going to be toveling every day of week number 3. Because again, it's your letters bezov. Post an akeva. Balaila, now, what about nighttime during week number 3? Nighttime during week number 3 now gets a little bit complicated, but actually it's not that bad. Meaning, there's another consideration. Now, when a woman goes through postpartum, so again, let's do it nice and simple. She had a boy. So that means 7 days she's Tameah, and then for 33 days she's Tahora. And again, to go from 7 to 33, she has to tovel the night after day number 7. We just described that. Now, the next 33 days is what's called Dam Tahor. Now, on day 40, she's concluding her Yemei Tahor. Okay, and that means on day 41, what's going to happen? She's going to go to the base of Mikdash and bring Karbanos. Okay, is she going to have to tovel in the mikvah again? Now, the status of a woman, or for that matter, anybody who is now what's called in halacha tful yom. A tful yom means that I was tameh, I toveled in the mikvah, and I need to wait. Now, normally a tful yom, it's very simple. I toveled in the mikvah, and what am I waiting for? The sun setting, Harev Shemesh. For the woman postpartum, it gets a little bit, it's just a little bit different. She is waiting, but her wait period is going to be significantly longer. If she had a boy, she's toveling after the 7th day, meaning the night of the 8th, and now she's waiting 33 days. For those 33 days, she's what's called now a tful yom. Now, I know, as do you, that normally tful yom is just waiting from the tefillah until the night. This is what in halacha we're going to describe. The Gemara is going to use this language of tful yom arichta. It's a long tful yom. And by the way, postpartum of a female, that's 66 days. Now, normally, after you experience Harav Shemesh, after your tful yom, so that's it. You're not going to the mikvah that night again. You already went during the day. There is a machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, which we're seeing right now. And Beit Shammai is of the opinion that a tful yom arechta operates a little bit differently. According to Beit Shammai, she has to tovel the night after the 40th postpartum boy. She has to tovel the night after the 80th postpartum girl. That is a requirement of Beit Shammai for the tful yom arechta. Not for the regular tful yom, but for the postpartum tful yom. Now that means, okay, now you figured it out. So that means now that when she comes back, any one of those days could be the conclusion of day 40 or day 80. And I'm just going to say day 80 because we're going to go 80 days in after she comes back. And so therefore, every night, for that reason alone, she's going to have to tovel the mikvah. So, that's, and there you have it. So, Eimer Yolez Nekeva Bezov, I'm sorry, Beishamel Atamei Damer Tfilos Yom Aruch by Tfilah. So, the Tfil Yom Aruch, what I just got done describing, is going to require a Tfilah. Michti. You may tire come have a shisa v'shisa. Give me just one second. Let me just get through the numbers. So michti, you may tire come have a shisa v'shisa. So the Gemara says that her you may tire are going to be 66 days, right? Because again, we're talking where the possibility is that she had a girl. So that's 14 and 66. So dalshvo gimel de'at belinla. So the Gemara says, okay, but 3 weeks now have been, the first 3 weeks have been deducted. Pashlu shisin nechichada. So that brings us down to the number 59. Shisin nechichada v'talsen hey tishin v'dalat havyan. So the Gemara says now, we're going to put together. Now remember the first 3 weeks, remember how many tefillahs we described? We described in the first 3 weeks a total of, I'm just wrapping up my head around the numbers. The first 3 weeks, it was, for the first week, 7. For week number 2, 14. For week number 3, 14. So that is a total of 35. So in weeks 1, 2, and 3, a total of 35. Then what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and for the balance 59 weeks, excellent correction. For the balance 59 days, she's going to have to tovel because this is Beit Shammai L'shitaso, where Beit Shammai says that at the end of her malos, and she could have had a girl, so she's going to be toveling every night at the end of her malos, and being that, from the end of the third week all the way till the 80th day, it may be the end of the malos, she's toveling every night. The Gemara is only bothered by, we're almost there at 95, but not yet. Meaning it's 35 plus another 59, so it comes out to 94. And the Gemara is obviously bothered because it seems that these numbers are given are accurate numbers. So the Gemara says, hey, v'tishim v'dalet havyan, tishim v'chamesh mai v'datayu. So the Gemara says, well, we can add one more wrinkle into the scenario in which we assume that she came back during the day. And so therefore, and again, the possibility is that she gave birth on the day she came back. And again, with all the possibilities of her having given birth an earlier period of time. But the one more wrinkle we're adding is that she came back by Neshmashos. So that gives us an extra day to take into consideration. And that's why there will be a tefillah on the 95th day, as opposed to 94. Okay, that now gives us the full range of tefillahs according to Beit Shammai, comes out to 95. What about Beit Hillel? It's funny you should ask. Ula Beit Hillel, damri tefillah, yom aruch lo bai tefillah, lamed hei mai avida tayu. So the Gemara says, now, according to Beit Hillel, so he doesn't subscribe to the concluding tefillah of yom aruch, meaning he disagrees with Beit Shammai that when she arrives at the end of 40 days postpartum male, at the end of 80 days postpartum female, so he does not require the tefillah there. So that knocks out a lot. The Gemara says it should knock out a whole lot. Meaning now it should come out that according to Beis Hillel, how many tefillahs should be required? So the Gemara is saying is that now it should be, well, the Gemara said 35. That was a braisa. The Gemara said 35. I think it should be less. I think it should be 28. As for Mitamnya Kedamar and Hachshvua, hey, so the Gemara says, Matbilan Kolayla V'layla, Emersof Nidihi. The Gemara explains that according to Beis Hillel, I'll tell you why it comes out to the number 35. Now, in terms of the 28, so that goes back to what we said at the very beginning of this whole discussion. 28 comes out to, it might be that it was every day of the first week is postpartum male. Every day of the second week might be postpartum female. So for that already accounts for 14. Plus, there's also the Zava consideration. And so therefore, every day of week number 2 may be the conclusion of her Shiv Nikim. Every day of week number 3 may be the conclusion of Shiv Nikim. And that gets us to 28. What the Gemara is wondering about is, okay, that's 28. But according to Beis Hillel, where's the other 7 coming from? The Gemara's response is, because consider now for week number 5. Week number 5, again, remember, she went 3 weeks not bleeding, then a week of bleeding. And now, that was week number 4. And now in week number 5, she goes now a week without bleeding. Right. So where's that extra tefillah coming from? So the Gemara explains. I'll tell you where it's coming from. In week number 5, she's going to be toveling every night. Why? Because of Laila V'Laila. Because again, when did she have the baby? She has no recollection. And therefore, It could be that the malos is well over. If the malos is over, and now you go to week number 4 where there was a full week of bleeding, when did the malos come to an end? Any day of week number 4, it could have been Sunday of week number 4, Tuesday, you get the point. And that means then that if, let's say, her malos ended on Sunday of week number 4, what's Monday? The first day of Nida. If, let's say, the malos ended on Friday of week number 4, so what's Saturday of week number 4? That's the beginning of her Nida. And so therefore, every day of week number 5, she's toveling in the mikvah, because again, Minat Torah, Nida 7 days, and then the night afterwards, you tovel in the mikvah. That's the extra 7 according to Beis Hillel. We're almost done. Almost. Yuchvoin lamali. Bitamnya v'upaga sagi. Now, obviously, the case over here is to make all these points that we just described. The Gemara now wants to know, you know, the scenario we constructed over here was 3 weeks of non-bleeding, and then 10 alternating weeks of bleeding, non-bleeding. The Gemara wants to know, I could have made every single one of these points, but I wouldn't have to go through 10 weeks of bleeding, non-bleeding. I just need to cover 80 days. In the scenario of 13 weeks in total, that's 91 days, but that's 11 more than what we need. So you can really knock off a week and a half. So why didn't the Braisa give a scenario of 3 weeks of non-bleeding and 8.5 weeks of alternating? But the answer is very simple. You probably know it already. So I did the Tanya Paga, the Shavua, a Masik Lei. So whenever the Braisas construct scenarios, the Braisas like everything to be nice and symmetrical and neat. So first of all, we're talking about units of week. So we're not going to stop 8.5 weeks. We're going to go another week. Ah. And then I did the Tanya Shavua Tame, Tanya Nami Shavua Tahor. And look, and we're alternating. So let's just keep the pattern going. So it's a week on, a week off, week on, week off. That's why the Braisa went a full 10 weeks of on and off. The Gemara now wants to know, what about the tefillah of her being a zava? Meaning, take the following consideration. In week 4, in week 6, in week 8, right? Yeah. In week 4, 6, and 8. So what is that blood coming out of her? It could be a lot of, well, not week 4. I take it back on week 4. Okay, week 6, week 8, week 10. So what is that bleeding? So again, it could be a lot of things. But you know what it could very well be? It could be your meziva. Could very well be. Because consider
ziva
that.
Ziva or nida?
It could be ziva, it could be nida. But as a possibility, as one possibility, is it could be a ziva. Because consider, in week number 4 now she's bled after some time. So again, it could be dam tahor of her leida. Okay, can be dam tame of her leida, because we're already 3 weeks past the latest time that she gave birth, which is the day she came back, fine. But it could be Dam Tahor. But if it's not Dam Tahor, then what is it? It's Nida. That would be week number 4. What's then week number 6? If week number 4 was Nida, and she's now bleeding week number 6, you know what week number 6 is? Week number 6 is Dam Ziva. And so therefore, what a requirement would for her to be is to count Shivan Akim, and then Tovol for her Shivan Akim. Why doesn't the Braisa take that into consideration? So So the Gemara says, well, the tefillahs that we really took into account are the ones before Tashmish, meaning, remember, the only opportunity she had to be with her husband was only on day 35. And then after day 35, meaning, you're right, you're absolutely right. But the Braisa wasn't just simply considering it. So the Gemara says, well, what about Beit Shammai? Because he clearly is taking into consideration the tefillahs that are done before day 35 and the days after 35, of course. Because according to Beit Shammai, it comes out that she's toveling every single day from the day she comes back, 8 until 80 days later. So the Gemara says, Beleda kamari beziva lo kamari. The Gemara says, you're right again. It just happens to be that the Braisa was focused only on the tefillahs as a result of Leda and not taking Zav into consideration. But that's only because that was the focus of the Braisa. But you're right. She'd have to tovel for Zav as well. Ve'ha'ika, the Gemara says, okay, but I'm going to persist. Yolaz bezov, va'ika yolaz bezov. What do you mean we didn't take Zav into account? Remember week number 3? Week number 3 and also week number 2 as well, we took into consideration yolaz bezov. So the Gemara says, yolaz bezov kachashiv ziva gredas alo kachashiv. Yeah. Zava as it relates to Leda, we're considering, but Zava in itself we're not considering. Shvuasa kama da'asila kama litvale biyuma. Dilma kol yuma v'yuma shlimu le sipurim dida. So the Gemara says, okay, why in week number 1 is she not toveling during the daytime? Remember in week number 1 she toveled every night? Why not during the day? This could be the end of Reshiv Nekiyim. Meaning, again, we're taking into account all the possibilities. Mm. And there's a possibility that she already had the baby some time ago, and now the melos is over for that, and now she had 7 clean days prior to her having come back. Why not, for the first week, every day have her tovel in the mikvah during the day, in addition to the night tefillah, because it might be the conclusion of Reshiv Nekiyim. But the Gemara gives a fundamental answer to that question. Hamani Rabbi Kivi Dam Rabbi Inan Sipurim Bifanenu. No, Reshiv Nekiyim, 7 clean days has to be 7 clean days where she counts in our presence. And our presence doesn't, not to be understood literally, just simply means with state of mind, with awareness, with presence of mind. And if it's only a possibility that she counts to Reshiv Nekiyim, that doesn't count towards counting Reshiv Nekiyim. Sof Shavu Kama Lit Balei Chad B'Shavua. I'm sorry, Lit Balei. At the end of week number one, remember, week number one she didn't see. There was no discharge during week number one. She should tovel at the end of week number one, meaning on Saturday of week number one, because that could have been Reshiv Nekiyim. And she came back, so she counted it. So the Gemara says, Chad B'Shavua Lo Kamari. So the Gemara says, look, we are looking at tefillahs that are done on a weekly basis and not one which is done just one day a week. Yuma kama da'asala kama lit balei. Dimo shemars yom keneged yom hi. So the Gemara says, okay, you know, when she comes back, let her tovel on day number one because she could be a shemars yom keneged yom. Meaning the day before she came back, she was a zava, but only a one-time issue of zava, which makes her only a zava katana, which only means that shemars yom keneged yom, the next day she should tovel on the mikvah. So why aren't we taking that into consideration? And the Gemara's answer is Zava Gadola Kamairi, but Zava Katana Lo Kamairi. Okay, so the Bryce is just not taking into consideration Zava Katana, but you're right about that point as well. We're almost done. Shemamina, Tla, Shemamina. So the Gemara says now, 3 takeaway points from all this. Okay, here's the part where we gather, refocus. 3 takeaway points from this entire discussion. Number one, Rabbi Kiva Hidamar, Binin Sefurim Bifanena. The author of the Braisa subscribes to Rabbi Kiva. Shiv Nekiyim must be counted with presence, with state of mind. It can't just simply be that we're only considering maybe she counted Shiv Nekiyim. There's no such thing as maybe she counted Shiv Nekiyim. Shiv Nekiyim must be counted with awareness. Number 2, Shmamina Rabbi Shimon Damra Aval Amr Chacham Memasal Asus Kain Shematov Ali Dei Safek. By highlighting that the only time that she can be with her husband is only on day 35, so that means, we already made this point, but we're just summarizing. It means that on day 7 of Shiv Nekiyim, even though in principle she could be with her husband after she tovels in the mikvah, but the chachamim banned it because she may see later that day undoing her Shiv Nekiyim, which retroactively means that she was with her husband when she was not allowed to be. That's number 2. And number 3, Shema Menat, Tefillah B'Zmana Mitzvah. And she's toveling 2 a days sometimes. And 95 times according to Beis Shammai, 35 times according to Beis Hillel. And meanwhile, how many times is she with her husband? Only once in the course of this period of time. So what does that mean? Tvila bizmana mitzvah. That as long as it is the correct time to tovel, and by correct time we're going to add and insert possible correct time, but nevertheless, tvila bizmana mitzvah, and that's why she's doing all these tvilas. So
Kron Revu is not a mitzvah to consider in this situation?
And, it for sure is. But the Isser...
Going through all these like...
Right. No, I'm not following your point. Meaning you have to prove it was a mitzvah, but you also have to take into consideration all the tumah and the yisurim.
How about Yom Kippur also?
Tefillah b'zmana, right. I mean, you could ask Yom Kippur, you could ask Shabbos also. Meaning, okay. And finally, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar, Dai Letfila Bachrona. Just one second. Letfila Bachrona, Velo Amrina, Tefillah b'zmana, Mitzvah. And obviously, the third opinion of the Braisa over Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, he says, look, no, tefillah is only necessary when it could result in her being with her husband. And so, therefore, yeah, every day is a possibility, but if she can't be with her husband, so then there's no mitzvah to tovel in the mikvah. Okay. Adka. Okay, fine. We can go over it after. Okay. Yes. Okay.
What generation was Rabbi Yosef when they were due to argue with Bisham and Bisham?
Yeah, that's a good question. He's a later Tana. Okay, that's good.
That would have been avoided by giving the lady some Arisa.
Yeah. Okay, that's a lot. All right. Okay. Everyone understand. That was just a constructive scenario just to make all those points. It didn't happen. But, okay, everyone, right. The mission now continues. We're on Lamed Aleph, and now... a discussion, an really interesting debate. The remainder of today's daf is super, super interesting. Now, if it's 40 days post-conception, so you're not choshesh for a vlad, right? The Gemara, a number of places, says that that an embryo that is at this early stage of formation does not have the status of a vlad. The Gemara elsewhere describes that as maya ba'alma. Okay, so and therefore it's not a leida, and therefore she's not tameya. If, however, she miscarried on day 41 post-conception, so this embryo now is developed enough where it would create tumma. Now, but again, it's at such an early stage. Do we really know if it's male? No. Do we know if it's female? No. Do we know even that it's an embryo? Okay, fine. So again, the answer is no. It must have some definition. We talked about that earlier in this parak. But okay, but in other words, but so therefore, it could be a zachar, it could be a nekeva, it could be a nida. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Yom Memal Teshev Zachar Nida Yom Pei Aleph Teshev Zachar Ul Nekeva Ul Nida Sha Zachar Nigmar Le Memal Aleph Ve Nekeva Le Pei Aleph. Rabbi Shmuel has a fascinating opinion, which is that in terms of fetal formation and fetal development, Rabbi Shmuel says that a male will finish developing. First obtain the status of a fetus on day 41 post-conception. For a female, 81 days. Now, I know those numbers sound familiar, but don't confuse the 40 and 80 days postpartum. That's tuma for the mother. We're not talking about that right now. We're talking about the time it takes for the fetus to develop to have a halachic significance. And Rabbi Shmuel says that for a male, 40 days. For a female, 80 days of gestation. The Chachamim Omer, Mechad Brias HaZachar, Mechad Brias HaNekeva, Zu V'Zu Mem Aleph. And the Chachamim say no. That in terms of gestation and embryonic formation always occurs on day 41, regardless of whether it's male or female. Lama Uzgar Zachar, is the Gemara says, now in the Mishnah scenario where she miscarried on day 41, we said we have to take into consideration of it being either a male or a female or nida. Gemara says, consideration of a male, does that really help? Meaning, what does that add? So, Eli made tumah hakatan in the keva. Look, you made tumah on the side that she had a female, that's already 14 days. V'ili made tahara hakatan in nida. Now, what do you want to say? The you made tahara? Again, it could very well be that she was a nida. So, and that's already covered with the word nida. So, she imtira yom lamadal v'tachzav v'tira yom mem. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why it's important to know that one of the considerations is a zakar. Consider the following scenario. Let's say that postpartum, so she bled on day 34. Okay, day 34. So one more round today of just of staying with the numbers. So if she bled on day 34 postpartum, so now what? So if what came out of her, what discharged out of her was not a male or a female, okay, so it's what's called her being a nida. Fine. If, let's say, she gave birth to a female, so now, what is the bleeding on day 34? She may tohar. Fine. You may tohar. Because remember, for a female, it's anywhere from day 15 to day 80. She may tohar. What if it was a male? Oh. So if it's a male, and she bled on day 34, so that also is you may tohar. Because again, postpartum of a male, if from day 8 until day 40, that's you may tohar. Fine. But now, she bled on day 34, and then she bled again on day 41. She bled again on day 41, so let's go over all of our possibilities. If it was nothing that came out of her, so then day 34, she's anida. What would day 41 represent?
Zava.
Oh, good. If it was a female, what's day 34 and day 41? All you may toar. If it was a male, what's day 34? You may toar. What's day 41 if it was a male? The beginning of Nida. Oh, now you see. Because now we're taking all three possibilities into account, so now in this constructed scenario of 34 and 41, so now 41, it could be that this is Dam Ziva. It could also be that this is Dam Tahor. It could also be that this is Dam Nida. Oh, okay. So that's why it's important to go over all these possibilities. And we could do the same thing for a female as well. And I'm not going to actually go through the numbers right now, but it comes out the same for female if she bled on day 74, day 81, and again day 88. It would be the same thing that we just went through. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Yom Emalef Day Shel Vazach Ulanida. And here we go now to the machlokus of Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim. The gestation period, is there a difference between a male gestation and a female gestation? According to the Tanna Kamma and the Chachamim of our Mishnah, the answer is no. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the answer is yes. Now, Tanya, here we go. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Tima Vitir Bezachar Vitima Vitir Benikei Vamad Kishitima Vitir Bezachar Yitzirasa Kayotzebal Av Kishitima Vitir Benikeva Yitzirasa Kayotzebal. So Rabbi Shmuel has the following correlation. I told you not to confuse these two numbers, and we're not confusing them. We're just correlating them. Rabbi Shmuel says that, look, the postpartum tama after a male is 40 days. That corresponds to the time that it takes for gestation. The postpartum tama of a female is 80 days. That corresponds to the days of gestation. And the Chacham's response to Rabbi Shmuel is, okay, but that's not a correlation. Meaning, you're right. It's numbers, but they don't correlate. So Amr lo le Rabbi Shmuel, Maisa b'Kliopatra, Makas Alexandrius, and here the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Shmuel, look, I'm going to tell you the following story with Cleopatra. Yeah, I know we've all heard of her. She is chayva shivchosea harigal malchus, and one of her servants were subject to being executed. Ubadkan, umatzan zevzel amam malaf, and so they did experimentation with these people who were going to die. And what they did is that they impregnated two of these women who were going to be executed, and then they executed them on day 41, and they discovered that the gestation of both the male and the female was 41 days. So they did human experimentation, and they found out they were right. We, the Chachamim. Amar lahem ani mevi lahem raim min hatorah v'atem mevim li raim min hashotim. So Rabbi Shmuel says, I don't understand. I'm sourcing from the Torah, and you're talking about human experimentation. So my Raya Min HaTorah. So first of all, what was Rabbi Shmuel talking about? Raya Min HaTorah. What was he making reference to? Now, if it's because of the correlation, we already know the Chachamim say, look, just because those are numbers, that doesn't mean they have to correlate. So Amakra Teled Hosev La Kasev Leida Acheres Benekeva. So the fact that the Torah uses an extraneous word, tailor, when it comes to the gestation of a female, so that means that for a female, it's an extra leda, meaning that the standard gestation period is 40 days, but because by the female, it says leda again, so that's 80 days of gestation. Now, how is it that the Rabbi Shmuel just simply does away with the experimenting of the Egyptians? So anyone here in medicine, or for that matter, in any kind of experiments. So you know the answer, because it wasn't a controlled experiment. So Amar Nekeva Kadna V'Yabar Arba'an Yomim Kamei Zachar. So the Gemara says it just simply wasn't a controlled experiment. We were sure that these women were conceived on the same day. No, you're not sure. In other words, it could be that for one of these women, maybe that she conceived 40 days earlier. It wasn't a controlled experiment. V'Rabbanan Sama Danafse Ashkinu. Now, what the Chachamim would say is, no, the experiment was a good experiment. It was a controlled experiment. They went through some sort of birth control prior to when the designated time of conception. Rabbi Shmuel, Ika Gufa Dolo Mikabo Sama. And Rabbi Shmuel will just simply counter and say, it's still not a controlled experiment. Yeah, okay, both women employ birth control. Birth control doesn't always work. Okay. So, Amar Lahem Rabbi Shmuel, Maisa B'Kliopatra, Malchus Yavanis. Now, the Gemara here is going to be giving a slightly different version of the give and take and the kind of experimentation that was used. In this version, so Rabbi Shmuel says the following occurred with Cleopatra Malchus Yavanis, the Greek queen. Now, it's not too confusing, meaning Egypt was really, after Alexander the Great, so Egypt was really a Greek was a Greek colony. So anyway, so she nizchayva shevchosei hariga, but here it comes the same, where she had women who stood to be executed, so she decided to experiment with them. Harigla malchus ubatkan matzan zachla arban ve'echad unikevela pei aleph. And here in this version, the experimentation actually favored Rabbi Shmuel's viewpoint: 40 days gestation period for a male, 80 days for a female. And here, the counter argument is the Chachamim. Okay, like, in other words, don't give me the human experimentation that was done by them. It just simply wasn't a controlled experiment. Right? It's Rayim and Ashotim. You're bringing a proof from fools. So, my because look, you think it was an 80-day gestation. You don't know that. It could be that 40 days into what you thought was gestation, she wasn't pregnant. She only conceived on day 40 of the experiment. Rabbi Shmuel Shomer Masrinu, and Rabbi Shmuel says no, because after conception, there were guards to make sure that these women did not have relations with a man again. V'rabanan ein apotropos l'arayos, and the Chachamim said guards. That's so funny. And what do you think is happening with the guards and these women? So we all know. So Ema Shomer Gufe ba'alaha. It could very well be that the guard had relations with her 40 days into the experiment. And it could very well be that if the woman would have been opened up on day 40, on what you thought was, you know, the day 80, so it would have come out looking like a male. I'm sorry, the two gestations look the same. So the Gemara says, well, the truth of the matter is, in terms of the simonim, they look the same. So anyway, back and forth, it comes out now that the Chacham and Rabbi Shmuel are arguing over the gestation period of an embryo. Is there a difference between male and female? So again, what do we have? Rabbi the Tanakama and the Chacham of our Mishnah saying for each it's 40 days. For Rabbi Shmuel, 40 days for male, 80 days for a female. Okay, let's stop over here. Okay, tomorrow we'll pick it up with Chacham and Omrim. Okay, and Emir Hashem, tomorrow, it's a lot of Gemara to cover on Shabbos, but tomorrow hopefully the goal will be to finish the Perek. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.